building godly relationships. And that should be our goal in life, is to, number one, build our relationship with God, but we're going to focus on building relationships here on this earth that are godly based. And I think patience is an important part of that, even though it's not a focus of the lesson this afternoon. I think having patience with other people is something we have to do if we're going to ever reach this relationship that God would have us to have with our fellow man. So I do believe they complement each other, these lessons that you will hear today. So our reading comes from Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. The verses will be up there, and that's what I put up, but feel free to look them up for yourselves. And I copied them off an online Bible. As far as I can tell, they're accurate and complete. But first off, we want to treat people well and with love in our heart to build godly relationships. So in Luke 6, verse 31, it says, "And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise." So simply treat people like you want to be treated, and you will be amazed at what a positive impression that will make on people. And we know this is a golden rule. I don't know how often that's really taught to our children today outside the church. They're seeing a lot of examples of how not to treat people with our social media and news and things like that. A lot of people really treat each other in not such a nice manner, and in not a way that they would want to be treated. And most people want to be waited on and have others wait on them rather than being a servant attitude and have people doing things for them. But as Christians, we are to have a servant mindset and to do good to others, to make them feel good and feel appreciated and uplifted with our light shining through the Spirit being within us. This will help us develop those positive and relationships that will be pleasing unto God with others. In Galatians 5, we read in verse 41, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So a pretty similar verse here, but we see that without love, then we're not accomplishing the goal. We're to love our neighbor as ourself. So love is the key word here. And when we think about it, do we truly love people, or are we wanting to be served ourselves and have others do things for us? You know, this also can be more difficult the further away from our friends or family that we get, to truly love others and show that love to those people that we may not know very well, just for whatever reason, or casual acquaintance, that kind of thing. And then we know Jesus was asked, who is our neighbor? You know, is it just the person next door? No, and I believe we all know that is not just talking about the person next door. It's anyone that we come in contact with in our life. Anyone we see in need is our neighbor, and our love should show to them and towards them, and that we should be able to help them in any way that we can. If we look in Matthew chapter 22, and verses 36 through 39 here, it says, "Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." These numbers are crazy. They change colors everywhere I go. On my screen, they're black. On the screen here, they're red. And they're yellow up there. And on the screen before, they were burnt orange when I gave this lesson last week. And went to Texas Tech, for those that didn't know that. We played Texas last Saturday, and then they were showing up orange. And I was like, well, Britt must have hacked my lesson and put some orange numbers in there. But now they're yellow, so I don't know who's yellow. Hopefully nobody we're playing anytime soon, because we're looking pretty bad. I guess Baylor wears yellow sometimes, and we've got them next. Hopefully that goes better than yesterday. But anyway, enough about the numbers. I did copy all the verses from the same place, so I don't know why. I highlighted them and tried to change them, the color and everything, but for whatever reason, they just keep turning colors on me. Anyway, we find loving God is the first and great commandment, and that should be our priority in everything we do, is putting God first and loving Him with all our being. But we can't overlook this second commandment. Again, we see loving our neighbor should be our priority second to loving God. In Romans 13 and verse 10, we read, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. You know, love each other. When we love each other, people, we don't do things intentionally to hurt people when we love them. We're not going to steal from a person we love. We're not going to injure them in some way intentionally to a person we love. There's the boys friendly hit each other and things like that, and sometimes get a little mad, but they love each other. You know, if you love somebody, you're not going to sin against them intentionally. You know, we all make mistakes and do some things maybe that hurt people's feelings unintentionally, but our intent should always be to do good to them and to build them up and to help them feel good, and following after God and all of our ways. So, you know, if our neighbor is working on building a fence and he wants to borrow something from us, then, you know, we should let them borrow that if we can at all, if that's possible, and even help them out if we can. We shouldn't go knock the fence down if they didn't return our hammer they borrowed and decided to take it out. Well, I'll show them. I'll knock their fence down. They didn't give my hammer back. You know, and that's the attitude today in a lot of people, and I've probably been guilty of that myself with wanting to get back at somebody. But to have a godly relationship, that's not how God would have us to react to those situations. And we'll continue to study that further. In Proverbs 18 and verse 24, we read, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if we show ourselves friendly, then we're going to have friends. A natural consequence of being friendly is having friends. And then that leads us to have a potential to build those godly relationships. You know, no one wants to be around a grouch all the time. So be friendly so others will want to be around you. And I was recently told no one wants to be around a grouch all the time. So I needed to change my attitude. So I'm working on that part too. So when we're kind and loving to others, our next point is basically to treat all people well, especially those in the church, as we read in Galatians 6 and verse 10. So as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So as it says here, do good to all men, but especially those in the church is what it's talking about, and to our brothers and sisters. You know, we have an extra obligation to our brothers and sisters in Christ to do good to them, and to help build them up in Christ and serve them. We all need help at different times, and whether that's spiritual help or physical help, and we should be there for our brothers and sisters in Christ and willing to help them out in any way we can and whenever we get a chance. But the second part of that verse, we see that it says to all men. So it extends out to all. It's not just doing good for our church family, but all men. It's not always easy doing good to someone who we see blatantly sinning at times, but maybe they just need someone that can be nice to them and treat them in a good manner. Maybe they had a rough home life and they just hadn't had that example in their lives. You never know what influence you can have on them just by being nice and treating them respectfully in a good manner, even though maybe as in our eyes they don't deserve it. God has told us to be good to all men. And then you never know when they see your light shining, how that's going to have an impact on them and they could change their lives and do something differently. This will open doors to you to develop those godly relationships and bring others to Christ. We had a neighbor, I guess we still have a neighbor. I don't see him much anymore, but every once in a while I'll see him. So he still lives there. And Some of you probably heard stories about Crazy Tommy. He lives next to us, and I used to see him a whole lot. But I think he's moved his business out of his driveway to some other location, so don't see him as much. So he's always working on jet skis on his driveway. And so, one day, Jace was in town, and the boys and all of us were out playing basketball, and he comes over just throwing the ball crazy and acting like he's falling down. And just, so that's kind of Crazy Tommy definition there. And one day I was out in the front yard, and I don't know why we're out there. Tayton was getting something out of the car, I think. So he had gone over, and I was just on the sidewalk, and Crazy Tommy comes over and talking to me a little bit. And he's like, "Well, you've done a good job with those boys." And Crazy Tommy's done drugs and may be doing drugs or whatever. He's kind of fried his brain, so he's not the sharpest guy. But even after that, he did notice the boys were a little different than maybe the other kids he'd been around. And their light was shining to him to take notice to that. And he just said, "Well, I just cuss too much." And I said, "Well, maybe you should work on that." And he took it well. And then Tayton gets back over and he starts cussing again. So I guess it didn't really work, but maybe he'll think of it later and change his mind about how he's acting. But ungodly people do notice when other people are acting godly. That's really the point to that story. And so that was good to know that their mom has had a good influence on the boys and they're acting right. And I've tried to contribute to that as well. And they're growing up to be fine young men. And we want to continue their growth as Christians and their influence, again, was noticed. Now, will it make a difference? Time would tell on that, and we may never know. And the same goes with us and the people we come in contact with. We never know. They may leave and think they noticed Christ in you and the light shining and how their lives might change, and you never are aware of it because you weren't there when it happened or when they made a change in their life because of your example. So always be aware when you're around other people and do good to them. And when I say all, I mean all. That's my third point. I mean even treat our enemies well. And Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22 says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." So even if our enemies or people who don't like us need help, then we should help them. If they are in need, we can see that we're commanded here. You're like, "Well, that's the Old Testament." Well, let's look in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 47. It says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" So we're told to bless them that curse us, and pray for them that use us and persecute us. Talk about a difficult task. You know, I've gotten older, more patience than what I used to have, but as a kid, somebody did something to me, I was pretty fired up about it and was real quick to retaliate to that. So fortunately, I've aged and improved in that area. And I worked with the boys on that too, and having self-control. And I think they do a good job, a lot better than I did as a kid. So it's an important trait for us to have. But like I said, that's a difficult task, and especially in today's climate, there's lack of respect for other people. Everyone wants to complain about something not being right, or maybe you have a different opinion than I do, so you're a bad person, that kind of thing. Instead of, they don't really see the reverse. you're saying my opinion's wrong, I'm saying your opinion's wrong, and so, but we're just hating because we disagree, and that's not real reality. If we really step back, we're not being hateful, we're just trying to teach you the truth and love. But I think sometimes we need to be careful in our approach towards others that think differently. And this may help our cause by thinking about how we're responding and in what manner. And when this person over to Christ, we need to think in our head, will this permanently destroy this relationship and create an enemy? Or will this reaction leave the door open for future discussion and hopefully to sway them to the truth? Again, if we just love those that love us, then really how are we any different than those in the world today? There are definitely times when we have to stand up for the truth and even ourselves. And again, we should always stand for the truth. But we need to examine or rethink how we stand up, especially when it comes to ourselves. Because are we being prideful? Are we letting pride seep in and how we're standing up? Because that can really cause us to act unchristian when pride gets involved in our defense. If at all possible, we need to respond in a manner that is kind and loving so we might gain influence on this person and that we're standing up against or that's standing up against us. And also, a lot of times there's people witnessing the situation and how are they looking at our response and how we're responding. We're commanded to pray for them and to do good to them. So that's how we should react in the situations and being respectful. But also sometimes we need to be bold again to stand up for the truth. But if we're respectful in that response, typically those looking on and that person will respect the response even if they don't agree with it. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So the next couple of verses are relating to money and how that can affect our relationships. So when you start putting money above people, then you start walking on other people and ruining relationships for earthly gain. Just for the pursuit of money or things, I always call it. Everybody wants more things in this country. And then you end up junking your house up, so you got to sell it so you can get more things. And so things just keep coming and going, and sometimes we get caught in that trap of wanting more things. And this has led many Christians astray and destroyed lives. And they say it's for the sake of pursuing the American dream, when in actuality they're pursuing things. And they take off after a job where there's no church and make compromises with the truth for earthly gain. Then this ultimately leads to their downfall as a Christian. The next dollar made becomes the goal versus following God and following Christ and seeking to serve Him. Their wants supersede their service to God. And then they suddenly want to be served, as I mentioned earlier. And then some leave the church altogether in their pursuit of money. And then in this process, relationships are ruined. Influence as a Christian ceases to exist. So we really need to be careful with how we're seeking money and going after things. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." So Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. This type of thing happens today as well. For the right price, you can pay to have someone killed. You might be thinking, well, you're just going on extreme there. And maybe so, but it does happen. We've seen it in the news and papers and things that people have paid to have someone murdered. Money can cause people to do crazy things. And again, it destroys relationships and definitely does not bring us towards those godly relationships if it is used in the incorrect manner. Next, as Christians, we're not to show partiality or allow that to affect our relationships. And we look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So not preferring one another before another and then doing nothing by partiality. As Christians, we are to love one another and not put some of our brothers and sisters on a pedestal while thinking lowly of another for whatever reason. We are all valuable in God's sight and in His worship and in His service. And He wants us to lift each other up and build each other up and respect one another without partiality. We might see this even a little more clearly in James chapter 2, first 9 verses there. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you, your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there came in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Okay, I thought I got off there. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So if we show partiality to someone in the service then because they have money and put them in a high, honorable place while asking someone that is poor to take a lowly place, then basically it tells us here that we are sinning. Used to, that front spot was considered a place of honor. Now it might be that back seat. I don't know. People kind of moving to the back. But whatever the case might be, if we're putting a brother or sister above another, we need to examine how we're treating other people because of their position in life. You know, in verse 9 it says, if we have respect to persons, we have commit sin. So it's there, it's plain, and we need to be sure that we heed it. We are blessed in this congregation back home to have a friendly, godly relationships in the building, and I feel like that's here from my visits here, the many visits here that we've had, that this congregation has good, godly relationships among the brothers and sisters and treating each other in a good way and being friendly. And that, what a blessing that is. I've also been in some churches where maybe there was some partiality being shown to people, and it creates division there when that happens, and maybe some ungodly relationships form based off of how people are treating each other in the congregation. There are other ways we could show partiality to others, so we need to be aware of that and work outside of our comfort zones at times and build stronger godly relationships with those we don't know as well. And, you know, especially start getting in bigger congregations. This side kind of talks amongst each other, and then this side kind of talks amongst each other, and then everybody just kind of leaves, and it doesn't always get mixed across the building. We need to have godly relationships with all our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have good opportunities here with good meals and things that y'all have provided and the elders have set up here to fellowship with one another and build those relationships. And I think that's a good cause and a good way to do that. And then there's times when we need to be silent in our relationships. In Proverbs 11 and 13, it says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So if someone comes and tells us something in secret, then we tell someone else, we're betraying the trust there. The person that told you in the first place is going to get mad when they realize you've shared their secret. You know, sometimes there's just things that are best left unsaid. And you can always confide in me, because if I'm not supposed to share it, a lot of times I file it in the back of my head, and I might even forget it because my memory's not that good. But getting older, like I said, but we need to be kind of have that file in the back of our head that we put things that don't need to be shared. But there are times when people confide in us that we may need to share what we know with someone else that can help with the situation, even if it risks that relationship. This shouldn't be a running to just the next person over and telling them and telling this next person and that kind of thing. But if someone's being hurt or going to be hurt, based off the information we have, then we should tell someone that is in a position that can help the situation. Not just run and tell everybody, but find someone that can help, whether it's elder in the church or even a police situation, that kind of thing. And those times we do need to share. And it might break that trust there, but in the end, it justifies the means there to protect that person or protect someone else, whatever the case might be. But most of the time, if someone tells you something private about someone else, then maybe you should tell them. That's probably something we shouldn't talk about, rather than, like I said, running to tell the next person the latest gossip. It amazes me how eager people are a lot of times to go and spread negative things about someone else. They never stop to think, what if that was about me? How would I feel? Would we want that spread around? Sometimes it may be true. Sometimes it may not even be true. And we don't check for facts and really think about how we'd feel if that situation was about us. You know, this definitely will prevent us from developing those godly relationships if we act in this manner. So there are times, as I said, that we should just keep our mouths shut about something we know. We don't have to share everything we know. Again, in Matthew 27, verses 12 through 14, it says, and when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. You know, Jesus said nothing to these charges against him, because they were all lies, and Pilate already knew that Jesus was innocent. So Jesus' silence, it marveled Pilate, because it wasn't the expected reaction. Our natural tendency would be to go off on someone that was falsely accusing us. And we would probably act in an ungodly manner if we're not careful. And sometimes they want to get a reaction out of us, and that's why they accuse us of something that's not true or falsely, to see our reaction, to see how we're going to handle ourselves. But we need to stop and think, is our reaction going to build a godly relationship if we act in this manner, in an inappropriate manner, in response to this accusation? You know, I'm not saying we can't defend ourselves, and there's times for that for sure. But we should consider our approach again and how we do that and go about that. Are we doing it in a respectful manner, in a godly manner? Are we flying off the handle and acting inappropriately? The next point, do God do good in place of evil to build godly relationships? In Romans 12, verses 17 and 18, we read, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So we shouldn't show evil for evil. But we need to try to get along with people the best we can. There are times we have to defend the gospel, and people won't like that. But that's not returning evil for evil. That's showing good in place of evil. That's spreading the good news and speaking out against evil. And then it says as much as possible that live peaceably with others. You know, that statement in itself shows there are times when that it will not be possible to get along with others or be peaceable with others. So there are times when that is the case. And some people just like to stir up trouble, and they're going to cause trouble every chance they get and give you trouble. But we need to try to avoid it, try to speak up against it in a respectful manner, and whatever way we can to be peaceful about it. But again, there will be times when that may not be possible. In Matthew 5, verses 38 through 41, we read, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." So we're not an eye for an eye anymore. Even though it's kind of our tendency for most people anyway. But if we're hit on the right cheek, we need to turn the left. And I definitely struggle here because, man, I don't know, there's something about it, even just a tap like that for somebody, even if they're trying to play around, slap them in, my ears are going to turn red, I'm going to get a little hot under the collar, and they're joking around. So if somebody's really popping me in the face, luckily that hadn't happened since I was a kid, so didn't react well then. But I don't know how I'd react now. Hopefully I would react in a godly manner. And kind of take that in stride and control myself. So again, getting along with our enemies and people like this can be difficult, but God expects us to be different. And then it mentions if we are asked to go a mile, then go 2 miles. So in conclusion, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 says, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men would do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Like we started the lesson, just treat people like you want to be treated, and you will be able to build positive, godly relationships with others. Treat all people well, with love and respect, especially our fellow Christians and brothers, sisters in Christ. Pray for our enemies and do good to them as well. Don't let money interfere with our relationships. And don't show partiality based on earthly standards in the church. And sometimes it's just best to be silent and finally show good in place of evil. And by doing these things, you'll be surprised how many of your current and future relationships will grow into godly relationships.